Welcome back, students. Let us review the chapter 23. In this chapter, what we are going to talk about is more on the top trends. What is the emerging scenario globally? How this procurement is shaping up? What are the scenario across the globe based on the current COVID and ways of working? See, what is uncertainty? Let us understand what is uncertainty. What happened post-COVID? During the COVID scenario, we were not accessing any element, any possibility, everything come to a standstill. If the mantra of 2020 was uncertainty, the term post-COVID will be adaptability. What is exactly meaning of adaptability? How this is going to emerge in the coming years? How the supply chain function is going to work on? What is the recovery part? How this is recovered? Now we are hearing post-COVID, lot of sectors are revived back to pre-2020 situation. So how this operation is going to work on now? One important factor in company is sourcing and procurement. What is sourcing and procurement? In the company, in the globally, what you can see, the trend of investment and the money spent in supply chain is anything between 50 to 70%. The money which we are spending in supply chain elements are much are higher because of procurement, raw materials, inputs, and other various associated services like logistics, warehouse, and operations. So how this is going to happen? What that adaptability we are going to talk about? See, adaptability in the sense that teams going to work on this procurement, how they are adjusting to the new normal ways of working. Everywhere you look, sourcing and procurement trends have been changed globally. And you see, most of the people are now working from home, the new ways of working, new adaptability of technology, how this all is going to emerge over a period. Let us get into the future trends, all trends one by one in procurement area, how it is going to impact the overall business, what are the adaptability required for this activity. Let us get to the first one. Strengthening sourcing and procurement resilience. What does it mean? With sourcing and procurement becoming more global, interconnected, organizational face a range of challenges. You understand now all the sourcing is no more, you know, within that geographical boundary. It is global now. The organizations are expanding and everything is beyond the territory of a country. It is global, regions and globals. So what are the impact on that? What are the challenges which we are going to face on that? One is the climate change, because temperature is rising already 1%, and then there are commitments from the governments how we are going to work on that. Rise of multipolar economic system, geopolitical risks, what is happening in, see, currently there are war across global. In that scenario, how are we going to manage it? What are the risk of mass healthcare events? What happened during COVID scenario? The huge healthcare issues, there is risk of managing that healthcare and the entire business come to a standstill. So this is the trend is there today. So how the sourcing and procurement to work with more resilience, how we can work on and improve the technical aspects of procurement. See, most of the companies are working with a large supply chain element. Some of the companies are simpler supply chain. Some of the supply chain has more larger network. And one of the important industry is of automotive and technology manufacturers. Or they are really vulnerable because a lot of components, a lot of technical inputs are coming from across globally. And there is dependency on each other. Each country is more important. So what are the actions by the companies we are talking about? One is assessment of sourcing and procurement risk. What is the assessment of sourcing and procurement? Assessment in such sense, what type of risk related to each activity and the suppliers and vendors are doing to achieve their supplies as well as the quality for the manufacturing activity. So it is very, very critical. We have to create a supply matrix to map all the activity related to quality, supply and service elements. So this is very important aspect of doing assessment of procurement, by all the vendors, by all the suppliers, and by all the component suppliers, everybody. So it is very, very critical activity related to actions for supplies assurance. Second part, creating transparency. So when we are working with supplier, the days have gone that, you know, keep the information secret. The vendors and suppliers are now to ensure the flow of information to and fro, both sides, you know, from the company to the supplier and the supplier to the company. These value chains are very critical. When the flow of information ensures undisrupted supply and also quality maintenance. So this is very important to collaborate with all vendors and suppliers to ensure the upstream value chains are properly managed. Third part, I spoken about it, which if you have a single supplier and it is naturally any disruption happening from the supplier going to affect the entire activity within the company, is a one manufacturing location or multiple locations. Specifically, when the supplier is not nearby and the suppliers are coming from elsewhere, for an example, it's a cross-country suppliers or supplier from geographically from a long distance, need a lot of logistics and shipping activities. So if any issue occurs, so how this problems to be resolved? So this is also one of the risk which assessment which is important, so as the undisrupted supply to the manufacturing activity to ensure the supply to your customers and to your users. That's very, very important. Number two, trends. Sourcing and procurement as a service. See, earlier every company used to have their own set of supply chain and activities are huge in numbers. It's starting from inbound and manufacturing activity, warehouse operations, distributions, and as well as supplies to various selling points. So this is very, very critical activity as a supply chain activity in the value chain. So the companies are now looking for outsourcing the activity, specifically the manufacturing, which doesn't add more of technical aspects. Then logistics, material moving from one location to another location, and of course warehousing and inventory management. How this can be outsourced and what are the risk and activity required, which are also part of the risk assessment. It's a trend, and currently every company is looking for, you know, supply chain and sourcing procurement as a service activity. It is expected that as supply chain management teams become smaller, as I stated in the previous slide, and every company used to have a huge and big set of people to manage the supply chain and of course the value chain activity as well. Now it becomes companies are looking for a smaller size of supply chain professionals, and they'll have a team with skilled individual focused on strategic decision rather than of doing mundane activity of receiving, accounting, dispatching activities like activities of supplying to customers, managing inventory, etc. These are all more mundane activity, and then it can be easily outsourced and then manage only the skill which are required specifically for strategic sourcing, strategic supply chain management, strategic logistics management, sustainability. These are the elements which are critical for supply chain activity. Let us look into the trend number three. Let us understand what is user-driven artificial intelligence and digitalization. See, what is happening today, every company is managing their information and updates and data management through digitalization. There is nobody is manually managing any activity related to inventory or stock management, ledger management, physical activity which are happening are tracked through digitalization. So what we try to understand in this process is procurement has integrated various e-marketing places to ensure the delivery of products and services on demand. What does it mean? It means if your value chain is visible from the supplier to the consumer, this entire requirements are more visible, the demand is visible. So when the demand is visible, the backward integration helps the materials and service flow in a way so as there is no buffers lying across the value chain and add unnecessary inventory pileups. So this is very critical, and artificial intelligence helps very, very important activity of what material to go, where to go, when to go. Similarly, what material to get procured, when to procure, from where to procure. So these are all more possible through the digitalization and as well as the AI-driven activity. The process and user interface have gone through radical changes with AI and ML and the usage of NLP, where the request can order with a great ease. What does it exactly it elaborates? So the earlier any data interpretation as well as understanding of the data into an activity or requirement or reverse planning, so is more simplified through a lot of machine languages. And it is very, very easier to understand the process and then identify what is required, what are the orders and the are to be serviced, how we can do it with great ease. So these are all important factors in the option number 3. The speed of procurement process has increased, leading to short fulfillment cycle. I was talking about backward integration. When your demand is visible, the supply also will be aligned to that. What does it mean? It means a stock will be supplied where it is required rather than of stocking in elsewhere and waiting for an order. The similar way a procurement process also works. What is the requirement of material rather than of getting the material and stock it for future requirement. So it is very important the supplies for manufacturing should come just in time. Procurement teams are designing and delivering intelligent bots to complete most run-of-the-mill procurement tasks with a minimal human intervention. As I was telling, so it's very important when you are making the system work on AI, it's also to work on the intelligence, how it should work and what type of planning we should follow, what type of inbound logistics to be planned, what type of outbound logistics to be planned. These tasks are minimized with the human intervention. So there is no much of a human intervention, whereas these are all happening naturally through the AI process. AI will undertake following activities, which I was talking about, from managing large volume orders to running repetitive sourcing events. If the volume is large and the orders are repetitive in nature, so it is more easier and fix up the sources based on the sourcing risk matrix. So this can allocate to the respective sources and the supplies can be naturally come without much of a manual intervention. Reason, transparency we've spoken about, visibility we've spoken about, the AI we've spoken about. So naturally these orders, the large volume orders, can be more easily managed and it can be more repetitive in nature. From negotiation with supplier for low value items to updating inventory based. If we know there is a lot of tail items in a company which are needed for in a irregular basis, but naturally these items are required for manufacturing and as well as services. So what the AI can do is, instead of working with multiple time the same activity, the negotiating with the multiple vendors again and again, this can be easily managed through the AI process. So that will ensure the activity is eliminated and it is managed more by the experts in the system. Let us understand what is procurement AI solution and what to explore a post-COVID scenario. Post-COVID scenario, most of us are working remotely, working from home, the meeting aspects are reduced, most of the discussion happening through various meeting protocols, and digitally it is happening. So how we can improve the activity which are irrelevant activities sitting across and do it? So one is definitely the contract management. Every company will have their own set of needs and the legal requirements for a contract management, that can be done through AI, through the standard formats, standard checklists, standard SOPs, which will help to make the contract management through artificial intelligence. Second is supplier risk management. So the first task which we talked about is risk management. So if we assign a supplier matrix of to assess their risks for procurement, so this can be easily managed through the information available in the system, how they responded to your order, how the supplies are adhered to, what are the failures, what are the success ratios, how they stood up during the emergencies. So this risk management help do it through the artificial intelligence. So in that process, the human interventions is eliminated. There is no favored supplier or vendor. So the system will throw up who will, based on the matrix, who is the right supplier for you to for uninterrupted supply as well as uninterrupted production and manufacturing. Automated purchasing. I have spoken about during the last slide about the tail spend. A large number of tail spends which are, you know, intermittent, irregular, but these are all critical for manufacturing as well as services. So this can be easily managed through automated purchasing. So the trigger of the automated orders can happen through a certain cycle or certain bin filling or certain various inventory management system. Once it is assigned to the digital solution, naturally it will throw up or alert the system. So these are the activity which are required to be done. Automated payment. So how this, when everything is digitalized, when the order is created, then the supplies happen, then the quality securing, the quality checking is done, it is warehoused and then it is used. So the entire information is available, so as it is connected with a particular purchase order or any contract. So it is much easier to do the evaluation of these receipts, so as the payment can be more naturally automated. So as human intervention is eliminated, other than value checks based on the certain SOP set up by the finance function. All spend analytics. So a lot of spends happening on procuring various products and services. So we can have a neat report on analytics on that. So which area where we can improve, which area we have to invest more, how we can use this the information for better running this procurement activity. And supply information management, when we have information related to various supplier, various alternative supplier, various product available, the information management is easier to hold in the system. That system, using certain arithmetic and programming concept, the AI can throw up supplier information and their management effectively as and when required for procurement activity. Let us discuss trend number 4, specifically about procurement and how it will shift from end-to-end system to procurement tech stacks. Companies and organizations are shifting away from enterprise resource platform like ERPs, which we used to call, to what is known as procurement tech stack. So the procurement tech stack, it means it's all specialized solutions for procurement activity in supply chain activity, specifically what is for procurement activity, which are managed effectively through procurement requirement rather than of working on enterprise resource as a total platform for the organization. So this best in breed approach involves building your own integrated ecosystems for procurement software solutions. For an example, you might opt to partner with one vendor for procurement analytics and a different vendor for supplier discovery and so on. What does mean of analytics? So we spoken about in the previous slides about artificial intelligence. These are all happening through various informations and data available in our system. When your ERP is holding a huge number of data, particularly related to procurement, supply, finance, manufacturing, and distribution, billing, invoicing, everything, the informations are to be used for analytical purpose. If you analyze it in proper way, what would be effective for you, how it can be done. So as we can, tech stacks are very specifically created for the purpose. When we are talking about supplier matrix, supplier risk management, and then other risk element related to that, single sourcing. So what one important factor is using this information and do lot of analytics on that through the AI, and it will help to decide what is right for the company. So in this case, we can create a procurement analytics and a different vendor and supplier discovery and so on. So it helps by analyzing various supply matrix parameters like supply on time, less number of quality issues, less numbers of defects. So these kind of elements related to the vendor and supplier ensures the uninterrupted production, as well as non-value added activities are eliminated from the system. So this is very, very critical part of it. The key to success lies in integration. As I was talking about backward integration, the information is to be flow from the demand to various points of the value chain. From the demand, demand in the sense is a consumer. When he is the consumer or the retailer is touching something of your stock, that stock that is backward integrated to your warehouse, CNFA, that is clearing and forwarding agent. From there, it is connected back to your manufacturing activities. So in that, and then manufacturing activity and back to your vendors and supplier. So in this entire value chain, this integration helps, and the information flows seamlessly and ensures this stack will do all the analytics and give you what would be the best for you, what would work for you better. Let's get into the next trend. Integration with circular supply chain. What is circular supply chain? See, a lot of us now talking about, you know, recycling. Recycling in the sense, and then not damaging the environment, not throwing the plastics, not throwing anything which are not biodegradable to the nature. So how to do that? What is the circular supply chain? What is the integration with the circular supply chain? The organization that adopt a circular supply chain approach stand to gain from reduced cost in the long term. Because when you are working on a recycling, and means there is a reverse logistics happening, that you are bringing back, but it is also reducing the waste and reduce impact on the environment. As we are talking about the environmental requirements globally and as well as committed in India. So what is important here is what to recycle, how to recycle, how this backward integration is happening, how the reverse logistics is happening, how the circular economy, circular supply chain approach is working. You can see that there is a supply coming from your vendor and the supplier, and it is coming to your manufacturing. In the process, you gain or you create some waste also, and then it goes to your distribution channel, and then once the distribution channel is rejects or some kind of recycle or packing materials are going back, either it's to come back or it can go to the waste. The recycle in the circular economy, recycle is very important. For an example, if you are using a cardboard packing, it can go back, because these are all called secondary packages. The secondary pack is not sold, it is only giving a protection to the primary product. So once the product is used and dispatched, this secondary packaging materials are come back. It's an example. There are many such as recycling activities happening. Not only packaging, but many elements which are, you know, cycled back. Another example I'll give you. Prior to that, I'll complete that. If any packaging materials coming back, and then if which are totally to be eliminated, is no more news, will go for dustbin, whereas which are recyclable, that can be reprocessed, that will go into the circular economy, go back to the company, from there it go back to the vendors or who is the processing it. For an example, an easy example I'll tell you, If any vehicle you have, any lubricant which is being filled in, coming with the vehicle, once you are refilling the vehicle, oil, lubricant oil, the oil is extracted, the old oil, waste oil is extracted. That is going where? That is going either for burning, or it is, you know, going on the ground and spoiling the ground, or it is used elsewhere for another purpose which are not legally allowed. So in this process, what can happen is collect the oil back and then you send it, reprocess it. That is called re-refining the oil and then bring back the base oil again for producing the lubricants. So this is called a circular economy, and it's very critical to every industry and applicable based on the industry. This model will work. So I have given two examples. One is on packaging, second is on the lubricant. So the oil is not going into the ground or to the nature and not damaging the environment, and it is cycling back. Only the part which are not usable, it is to be destroyed or it is to be disposed of in a proper way so it doesn't damage the environment. So circular economy and circular supply chain is very, very critical in coming years, because it is one of the important element by government also advising every company to ensure recycle or reprocess the products which are again back to the cycle. A key driver in the adoption of this approach is stricter regulations. I was talking about the government. These are stricter regulations are coming in when it comes to recycling and waste disposal. A well and potential incentives for sustainable efforts made. Initially, it may be a cost, but overall, over a period, it will become a necessity as well as the gain to the organization. Let us look into the trend number 6, localization. We all know our Prime Minister talk about Atmanirbhar. That is exactly called local suppliers. Why local supplier? The adoption of local supplier is gaining prominence due to pandemic like COVID. See, many, for an example, in this I can quote, when lot of components is to come from China, lot of battery related supplies to come from China for manufacturing in India. During COVID time, nothing was received, nothing was able to ship, and the entire industry suffered for almost 1.5 years. Now still the problem is going on. So it is very, very important that making a localization process and adopting that activity is very, very critical to manage our organization effectively. Many organizations have started to venture and look the local suppliers, especially supplies under small or medium scale, and even some regional groups. So a lot of promotional activity is being carried out by Niti Aayog, and a lot of support is being provided by government to see that there is a Make in India process, and it is also ensured that it is adopting the Atmanirbhar requirements, so as everything is localized. Not necessarily everything is localized, but partly localized, and still we are depending on some of the supplies because of the inputs to come from elsewhere. The idea is to encourage diversity of thought and participation. This is very critical of localization of supplier. Let us get into the next trend. Is procurement will increasingly partner with the experts. In view of COVID, collaborating and partnering with others to pool resources, to share ideas, and to find solution to common goals in a smart way. So lot of now groups, lot of social media support, lot of companies are creating a specific group or a group like pool of resources to understand this requirement and collaborating and partnering with each other. So as it will eliminate, see, the same material is required by 4 companies, and it, when you are doing the pool and resources, naturally the possibility of price reduction as well as logistic cost will reduce, and the ideas also can be shared for betterment and to find solution to common goal to a smart move. Together we can do more. This is a core belief behind the concept of group purchasing organization. What is group purchasing organization? A lot of companies are, for an example, if you have a smaller suppliers and large players, both are there in the industry, and many companies may not know the small player because they may not have the setup of sales and marketing so as to reach you out. So it is more of, references and other activity which they are carrying out. A group purchase organization is a support activity which is happening globally now, and particularly India is, prominently doing this activity. A known set of people are getting registered into one entity where their products and services are, showcased, and this buyer can look into that, options available to them, pricing available to them, volume related details available to them. Then this can be easily leveraged, and then the supply can reach to the respective people based on the their time, money, effort. Because this group purchasing organization is coming up very, very largely in India, and a lot of industries, specifically pharmaceutical, chemical and other industries, activities are happening through this. It is not only for India, even some of the global organizations are looking India for this kind of supplies and availability. This group purchasing organization is very important activity. Let us look into the future ready organization. What is future ready? To lead in the next normal procurement and sourcing department, to transform how they operate and collaborate with internal and external stakeholders. We have discussed about various elements, collaboration, visibility, AI, digitalization, and then, creating the link with the supplier, so more transparency. So these are all very important, so as the organization will be ready, to meet the future requirement and also, face the challenges in the future. Adopting an agile operating model could help procurement functions scale up or down quickly to respond to sudden supply changes. The same example of COVID, what happened during COVID scenario, what are the sudden changes happened in the value chain and particularly supply chain, how these are managed, how effectively companies have overcome these challenges in the last 2 years, and then many companies are back to normal with all these ideas and trends. What we need to do based on the new ways of working? This will require attracting a new talent. So we spoken about large supply chain setup to skilled people to manage these activity rather, and then outsource the activity. So it's very important to have a talent and then skilled people to manage the procurement activity on the current ways of working. Leading organizations are adopting many leading companies, which are even virtual training methods and gamified digital tools, a continuous learning culture as a way of life. So it is not like you worked in an organization for 20 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. It doesn't add value, but unless you go on learning continuously, improving your knowledge based on the current trend, how we all learned on the COVID, how to work remotely and still achieve the company's goal. So this is a continuous learning culture as a way of life. To engage experienced workers and develop their talent is very, very critical. So any supply chain organization will look into this kind of talents and ensure their skills are upgraded, and of course various trainings are being provided to them. A lot of digital tools are provided to work on, and of course for opportunities to learn more and more. So what is the path forward? So how this is going to happen? With all of the insight that sourcing and procurement bring to the table, technology will become a stronger strategic advisor to the business unit. See, when the information is available, the data points are available, the transparency is created, if the backward integration is happening, what is important is do all analytics, and that analytics help procurement activities more diligently, more attractively, more optimized way, more beneficial to the company. This is how the companies are moving on, and this is very, very critical to any organization to go stronger. It should use the technology as a strategic requirement, and then it will help a business unit to grow better. The more we automate, companies will speed their supply execution speed and gain more business. We were talking about the backward integration, that means from the demand to the supply. This visibility ensures the entire value chain, in particularly the supply element, that is vendor to manufacturing, manufacturing to distribution center to your retail outlet or the end customer. This visibility makes the companies to work in an agile way and see the supply executions are to the speed and gain more business and following all digital analytics solutions available with them and ensure it helps their business grow. Source and procurement lines will resume slowly but surely. So hope you understand. Sourcing and procurement lines will resume slowly, but it is surely. As they do, sourcing and procurement leaders will need to shift their spending and adopt new technologies to stay competitive. So this is a competitive world. So all the information is available, all the data points are available, all the analytics are available. Then it's a decision maker with the skilled knowledge we talked about, upskilled knowledge, skilled people. So it helps to ensure they are working on competitive environment. Thank you so much.